Good morning. We've been in a series of messages that focus on prayer, and the title is Talking with God About Things That Matter. And from the very outset of this series, I knew that we would come to a Sunday when we had to deal with those uncomfortable times of life. And how do we speak with God? How do we pray to God when we are in the midst of the storm? Because life can deal some pretty harsh blows. And how are we supposed to pray? How are we supposed to speak to God when those blows are battering us? That's what we'll look at this morning. And I pray, God, that you would give me grace to share your heartbeat and your help and direction from Scripture. Through Jesus, I pray. Amen. To launch into this topic, I want us to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. You can grab your own Bible. You can grab a Bible that are in most of the racks. If not the one you're on, the one right next to you will have one. And you can open up to this. As we begin to read this scripture, just a little piece of background. We're going to hear about a city named Ziklag. And I just want you to know that at this time, Ziklag is David's home. And he and his men have been away on a military campaign, and they're just about to come home as this story, this portion of Scripture unfolds. So it says, David and his men reached Ziklag. They reached home on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. Now just to pause here, you got the picture. David and his men have been out on a military campaign. They come home, and their home is destroyed. The houses are demolished, and all their family, all their livestock, all their wealth has been carried away. If there's any glimmer of hope at all in their situation, it's that they didn't find the lives of their loved ones strewn around the destruction. I think that qualifies as a bad day. So let's continue reading. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters, but David found strength in the Lord his God. And then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Amalekith, "Bring me the ephod." And Abiathar brought to him, and David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them?" "Pursue them," he answered. "You will certainly overtake them and succeed in your rescue." Now this slice of Israel's history provides a perfect example for two issues that I would like to raise this morning. And the first really comes out of a pastoral concern that I have seen in the church for years and years. And I kind of give you the thumbnail in this line. For heaven's sake, be real. Stop pretending everything is all right when it isn't. Look at verse 3. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. I've lived among this church for 12 years. I've lived in an intentional way in the church now for almost 40 years. I've been a part of the church in many places, and I see an epidemic. Too many Christians, and particularly Christians of the stripe who say they believe the Bible, that it's infallible, that God is everything they want, Christians who believe that God can be victorious in our life, that God comes and touches our life, and I have seen too many of those Christians who hide the fact that sometimes life stinks. It's as if they come into the church and they put on a face of denial. Their life can be falling apart. They can be racked with physical or emotional or spiritual pain, and these brothers and sisters cover up the true reality of what's going on in their lives with some spiritual sounding language and comments. And truth be told, sometimes I just want to choke them. Wouldn't help the situation, and I don't. I mean, I know someone who was going through a horrible situation, huge financial problems. The home was on the brink of being foreclosed upon. I mean, it was horrible. You go up to the person, "How you doing?" "I'm blessed." That was always the response. "I'm blessed." "Well, I know theologically you're blessed. I understand that." But that was a facade to hide what's going on. Now, I also get the fact that sometimes you don't want to talk about it. You just don't want to talk to one more person about the pain that's going on. I understand that. But just be honest. You know, it's okay to say something like, "Life's pretty hard right now, but I don't want to go there." We'll respect that. I mean, most people will, and if they don't, just hit them and move on. You know, but it's in those moments of honesty, because when we deflect, when we're the "oh, I'm blessed" kind of person, we're not only being dishonest with the people we're talking to, we're frankly being dishonest to ourselves. We're trying to lie to ourselves that there's some sort of Christian victory that everyone has to live in the wonder of, you know, everything going right all the time. And that is not life. It's not life in God's kingdom. It's not life out of God's kingdom. We all have ups and downs. The miracle of the faith, the wonder of the songs we sang this morning, is that God is there with us through the storms. But the storms are still happening. Can get pretty passionate here, because the only way people can come alongside and help is if you'll be honest enough to let us know you hurt. And I've heard people here do that. And I'm not going to invade your privacy, but I will plead with you. Please be honest. Now look, don't go way off the extreme. I don't want everyone here to become a negative Nancy who every time you see him is, "Oh, is me." You know, because that'll drive me crazy. I don't know about you, just as much as the other. And I don't want you to become a complaining Carl every time you see him. You know, "Oh, you know." That's not the point. The point is simply to be real with what's going on in life with your brothers and your sisters. I'm asking for honesty with yourself and with others. David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. They experienced the pain of their own moment. They didn't try to whitewash it. That day was horrible. It was devastating. And guess what? It's okay to be honest about that. We all have days like that. Hopefully not the extreme of what these men went through. But we have days like that. You know, when the pink slip comes, when the doctor calls, when the check bounces, and your friends can't be mind readers. Paul tells the Thessalonians that it's okay for them to grieve. You know, when people die, he says, it's okay to grieve. But then he goes on to say, but we grieve as people who have hope. There is the fact that Jesus is with us. But when someone dies, it hurts. I'm not okay. When I lose the job, when I'm kicked out of the job, when I have a miscarriage, when this or that happens, I'm not okay. I hurt. And if we can understand that, then friends can come in and help. And I believe it'll also become a doorway to really getting the help God offers. God says to His people, mourn with those who mourn. Weep with those who weep. I can't weep with you if you won't weep. I can't mourn with you if you're going to pretend everything is okay when it isn't. Now, when stuff happens, when life collapses, when that proverbial stuff hits the fan, we have a choice. Look at the next slide. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But what's the contrast to all of those men in the scripture? The contrast is David. David found strength in the Lord. His sons and daughters, his wives were still captured, but David made the choice to go to God with it. And when stuff happens, we all have a choice. We have a choice to become bitter. And that can be in the form of blaming God, blaming others, blaming this, blaming that. Or we can fall before God and trust. We have a choice. The men allowed their honesty and their pain to cause them to grow bitter. I share that because when stuff happens, we all have a choice. We can choose to be like the men and become bitter, and then you just get angry at the people. David, now it's your fault! As if David had anything to do with these Amalekite raiding parties who are around the area. You know, it's your fault! Or we could be like David, who found strength in the Lord in a horrible situation. And don't miss those last two words. David's found strength in his God. See, David had made a choice years before that he was going to follow the Lord, and the Lord was going to be his rock and his foundation, come what may. And so when his life collapsed, he fell on that choice. Lord, I am yours. I don't understand what you're doing. I don't know what's going on. Help me to survive this moment and know what to do. I don't know everything it meant to find strength in the Lord. I don't know all of what that was for David. But I feel very confident in saying that part of what that was for David was a turning to God in prayer. David was a man of prayer, and we know that because so many of the Psalms have his name attached to them. They were his written prayers to God. And so I thought, wow, maybe there's a Psalm that David wrote at this time. And so I kind of scoured the Psalms of David, and there wasn't. But the fact that I read through you know, quickly, all of his psalms gave me this incredible picture of the man David. And I found out that he had an incredible honesty with God. And my second plea to us would be honest with God when you're in those situations. When life collapses, be honest with God about your situation. Now, it's kind of, you know, which came first, the chicken or egg thing. I don't know if David's ability to be honest with himself allowed him to be honest with God, or whether David's ability to be honest with God allowed him to be honest with himself, but I do think that those two things are connected. If we are going to pretend everything's okay, even though the situation says otherwise, it's going to be hard to go to God and pray honestly, because we've got to keep up that facade that I'm the victorious Christian and everything is all as well, and I'm always going to be this, that, or the other thing, and God always gives me victory. But is that life? So be honest with God. As I went through the Psalms, a couple of them hit me. Some suggested that maybe these words were written at the time of Ziklag, some of the commentators, but there's no real evidence for that. You know, there's no real ties, but it certainly fits. Listen to this prayer of David from Psalm 25. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress. Take away my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Don't let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. Lonely, afflicted, troubled of heart, anguish, affliction, distress, enemies, shame. Can you hear the pain of those words? This is not a man pretending to be living a victorious life. This is a man who's going through some season of significant pain. Somehow my heart was drawn to that word afflicted, for I am lonely and afflicted. And I just did a little work on that word. It's the kind of word that means a person is suffering from some sort of real distress. Distress that can be physical or it can be a sickness. And often it's the kind of distress where the physical affliction is closely tied to a spiritual thing, where there's internal conflict going on. You're being torn apart inside. That's the kind of the meaning of that word afflicted. I'm being ripped apart, God, by what's happening to me, around me, through me. David is blurting out his pain to God. Now again, I can't be sure this is exactly what David prayed that day when he came home after he wept. But I do know he prayed this prayer at some time in his life. And just so you don't think this is an isolated incident, if you have your Bible, flip it to Psalm 6 a few pages before. If not, it'll be on the screen. Psalm 6, another prayer of David. Verses 2 through 4. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. This is a time in David's life when he was physically ill. Maybe he thought he was at the point of death. But he's weeping before God. Please, God, I have nowhere else to go. Please do something. And all I want you to hear is David's honesty. He's sick and he's hurting. He's in pain. And he's honest with God about it. He is not saying, "Oh God, I'm blessed." Be honest with God. But I want to add a tagline to that. See, I think we need to be honest with God, but we need to be honest from a faith in God foundation. In this same Psalm, Psalm 6, the one we were just looking at, he goes on to say, "My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all you who are evil. For the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayers. All my enemies will be overwhelmed with shame and anguish. They will turn back and suddenly be put to shame." All of a sudden, from this weeping on his bed all night long, David has the strength to say, you know, in essence, God's with me. He's heard my prayers. Now, we don't know the outcome, but he knows God heard. See, it's the faith in God, the trust in God, that allowed David to be honest with God, because he knew his life was in the Lord's hands. And if we turn back to that first psalm we looked at, Psalm 25, in that psalm, David begins with his trust in God. He begins that prayer of pain and anguish with these words, "In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in the Lord will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. Teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." In this psalm, before David pours out his heart filled with pain, he proclaims his trust in God. He pens his love for God. Be honest with God, but be honest from a faith foundation. Sometimes, in the midst of the disaster, God lets us ride to victory. And if you read on the story, the men go and they find their wives and their kids and their stuff. But sometimes it doesn't end with the happy ending. In the New Testament, Stephen, after he gave this incredible speech to those who wanted to stone him for being a Christian, they dragged him out and they stoned him. But you know what it says? It says he looked to the Lord, and it says God put him to sleep. He died knowing the Lord was in control and that God was with him. So, here's my word to us when we go through those times when life collapses. Be real with one another and be honest with God. But please, be honest from a faith foundation, because that's what will allow you to avoid bitterness growing in your heart. Let's pray. God, life can be difficult. It can be great, too. But as we talk about and think about those difficult times, I pray, Lord, I pray that we could be real with one another and you, and be honest with you, that we can cling to our faith with white-knuckle strength, but share our heart's pain when needed. Lord God, thank you that we can be honest with you, that we don't have to put on airs, we don't have to be perfect. Lord, I pray for anyone here who's in one of those collapsing lifetimes, walk with them. Enter their pain, and I do pray, Lord, that you would bring them through the storm, stronger, better, more faithful people. But in the midst of the storm, I pray, more than anything, that they know you are there with them, and that their brothers and sisters in Christ will stand with them too. In Jesus' name, amen.